This interview is brought to you by CKUA Original Radio. For a great mix of music and information, listen live online at ckua.com. Welcome to Bookmark, CKUA's weekly program dedicated to the contemporary book trade, writers, and literature of Alberta. I'm your host, Ken Davis. Two fine writers from outside the province recently paid separate visits to Alberta as part of book tours, and we were there with our microphones ready. Bookmark today is privileged to feature one of Canada's greatest writers, David Adams Richards, talking about his new novel, Incidents in the Life of Marcus Paul. We also sit down with BC Lighthouse keeper and author Caroline Woodward to talk about her new book entitled Penny Loves Wade, Wade Loves Penny. All that and book news straight ahead. BC Lighthouse keeper and author Caroline Woodward is convinced there are too many stories out there about middle-aged love that falls apart. She asks, what about the stories of those of us who stay together through thick and thin and find a new kind of deeper, richer love? In her new book, Penny Loves Wade, Wade Loves Penny, Caroline Woodward indeed explores the richness and depth of middle-aged love, telling the story of a loyal, hard-working farm wife and an easy-going, adventuresome trucker. As Bookmark's Brenda Finley found out, Caroline Woodward uses nothing less than the structure of Homer's Odyssey to tell the tale of Penny and Wade.
Penny loves Wade, Wade loves Penny, and despite the simplicity of the title, quite a complicated story about middle-aged love. What do you think this book is about?
It's about middle-aged love. It's about making an area of Canada mythic, big, beautiful, and wonderful, and that's the Peace River region where I grew up. My parents homesteaded in the Peace. And it's about using the structure of Homer's tale, the Odyssey, to use two ordinary people, two ranchers, husband and wife, who are facing the usual financial issues and relationship issues that, you know, regular farm and ranch people do, but I wanted to make them into the Penelope and Ulysses. And so that's why we have Penny and Wade. And Wade in the Norse means wanderer. So, you know, I love going through baby books and picking my names very carefully. And Goodland, of course, the community of Goodland. There's at least six Goodlands in North America, right? Because it's a metaphor for the land is good here, right? And that's how the people found it. But the rest, you know, I tried to use real names, you know, like Chetwynd and Cranbrook. And I've had endless numbers of people saying, it's so nice to see Quinnell in a Canadian story. And I was like that, too, when I was going to high school, and there was very little Canadian literature in those days in the late 60s. I was thrilled to read Winnipeg in a story. I mean, that got me excited, and that helped me to become a writer. Like, I wasn't reading about my life or my interesting community of immigrants that I was living in, the First Nations, the pack trails across our land, and all. I wasn't reading a thing about that. It was every bit as interesting as anything I was reading.
When you talk about Penny and Wade, these are, as you say, mythic characters. Tell us a wee bit about the hard-working Penny who keeps that place going while her husband trucks back and forth across BC.
Well, she's like a lot of farm and ranch wives that I knew and know. They drive the school bus, they substitute teach, they work in their community to help make things better for the elders in the community, they keep an eye on their neighbors. They're like the WI, the Women's Institute members, who did so much in the community I grew up in, Cecil Lake, BC. And I wanted Penny to be my doppelganger. Like, I headed out of town to go to university and travel and work overseas, and did. I was a bit of a scholarly gypsy for a while, and, you know, just loved to see the world. But I made Penny the person I might have been had I stayed on the farm and ranch and, you know, gone to college for 2 years maybe, and more sort of sensible and conservative, but absolutely as driven to hang on to the land. by any means possible, and to keep the bank manager and the farm machinery dealer and all the people that want that land, because that's a very central preoccupation in the Odyssey. And it's Penny and Penelope who are keeping all those land-hungry suitors at bay.
So let's talk now a bit about Wade, the wanderer, who thinks of home as a place that smells good and it's comforting and a hot bath and there's a triple ginger cookies waiting for him. And you know, we go from the hard life of Penny to keep things together to this romantic notion Wade has of home. Tell us a bit about Wade.
Wade was too old to be sent off to a war, which is the traditional structure of the Odyssey. So I couldn't very well send a 44-year-old rancher with a bad back off to Afghanistan or anything like that, right? So what I decided to do was research World War I and the effects that being traumatized in World War I, like his grandfather was, had on the succeeding generations of men. So they're all wounded by that war in different ways. And, you know, his father was made into this unfortunately coddled, only surviving son, who then didn't really work out well for his character. And that impacted hugely on Wade, who always sought sanctuary with Penny and his own family and got out of the ranch as often as he could to get away from his father, right? Because sometimes those family farm and ranch things, you know, if there's a real autocrat in control, it's not much fun for the adults who are working with or for, rather, that person, right? So that's sort of what I wanted to do with that character, with Wade. But he has his mother's really good heart, and he's a good man. He just, you know, his life kind of stopped for him when he promised his mother that he would stay on the ranch and, you know, help his father out, when it really wasn't, he was too young yet to really know that's what he wanted or not wanted to do. So his life's kind of on hold, and things, without being a spoiler, kind of came to a crunch for him, right? He had to make a decision about what he was going to do when he grew up, and he had grown up in a big hurry on this trip, meeting the Cyclops and the Sirens and the Clashing Rocks and everybody else, right? I had fun putting those in. It's kind of like, you know, Where is Waldo for classics geeks, you know? Oh, wait a minute, that's a what's it, you know? And yeah.
But Penny Wade, through all of this, survived. Their love survives intact. There's not romantic notions, but there's the color of romance at the edge. There's a real strong commitment, understanding, respect for each other.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that when people work side by side, running businesses, running ranches and farms, you really learn to
love each other
in a whole different way. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you really have each other's backs, and there's such respect there. You know, if one person does the bookkeeping, if one person handles all that, and if one person handles the bookings, and if one person, and everybody finds their niche that they're good at, and the other person values them hugely for it, or usually does, or else the thing is not going to last, right? But Penny, you know, who is a quilter as well, she hangs on to that image of when they first met, which I put in the prologue, and then it's kind of like a touchstone for them. And it's true that, you know, we all need to go back to why we love that person in the first place and remember that and have our own home movie to remind us during the thin patches, you know. There's a trillion books about divorce and adultery and all these people scampering off. Well, what about those of us that hang in there for the long haul? What about them? You know, what about the people? What makes it work, right?
Now, you're a lighthouse keeper. You used to be in the book industry, but you're a lighthouse keeper now in Leonard Island, just off Tofino. And how does that life help you with your writing?
Oh, it's marvelous, Brenda. No committees to do good works for. I've done lots of that. Lots of time for other people to step up, you know, and it's like the finger in the glass of water. Once you're gone, well, guess what? Lots of other people like to do that sort of thing too, right? So you're not indispensable in the outside world. And I figure, you know, I help midwife so many other people's books in various ways for the last 30, 40 years. this is my chance to be a writer again and to really focus on it. But because when I'm working as a lightkeeper and doing my weather reports and everything, we work shifts, right, to cover the 24/7 that we work out there. And so I'm able to get my writing time in a very disciplined way, you know, and I have my little room of my own. And so I love it. It's perfect. I'm grateful for it every day, believe me.
You're also a children's author, and which do you prefer? Do you prefer writing for adults or writing for children, and why?
I guess the easy way out of that question is that whichever genre I'm working in at the moment is appealing to me the most. They're so different, because when you're writing for children, it's like you really have to channel a child's voice, because you don't want that, you know, this happened to me when I was your age, and talk down to them. You know, you've got to really inhabit those little size 2 boots again. And it's really hard to do really well. But I'm just thrilled with my first picture book, you know, with Singing Away the Dark. It's very autobiographical, you know, heading to the school bus stop without a flashlight, in the dark, in the Peace River, and in the middle of winter, right? And with all these obstacles, these barbed wire gates and the neighbor's bull and the cold stretch with the wind coming through and the scary stretch of the tunnel. And I asked my mom, who's now 86, why didn't we have a flashlight for me? And she said, I don't know. I think maybe the batteries were expensive. And, you know, everybody now drives their kids absolutely everywhere, you know, and their kids are shuttled about to music and basketball and soccer and everything. And, you know, it's just a different era. But all the little farm and ranch kids, you know, just had to tough it out. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it was. You had to get to school. You had to get to the school bus stop. Ergo, you get up early in the morning and trudge through the drifts and keep your wits about you and learn how to deal with your fears, right? Which we need to do at all ages, right? So in a way, it was character building, Brenda. It was character building, yeah.
Well, yeah. You had a tremendous character, wonderful personality, and you've done some great work here. Thank you.
Caroline Woodward, talking about her new book, Penny Loves Wade, Wade Loves Penny, published by Ulacan Books. Caroline currently lives and writes on Leonard Island Light Station near Tofino, B.C.